Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
And I hear the cry of your heart for the joy to come back, the joy of the Lord that will become your strength. The Lord says, I hear your cry. I see the trauma. I see the pain that you've walked through, the valley that you've been through that has drained you of joy. But I am here today, says the Lord, to refill you and renew the joy in your life. So receive it, says the Lord. It's the joy of my spirit. It's not man-made. It's not musical. It's not atmospheric. It's my presence, says the Lord. Receive and draw upon my joy, and I will surely give you new strength in this hour, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, here's what I want us to do. Let's lift our hands right now. If you need joy, and I need it, and everyone needs it, and you've been through trauma, and you've been through pain, and you've been through difficulty, Lord, we just receive joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're letting go of our sorrow. We let it just wash right out of us. We let go of the pain, and we receive fresh joy today in Jesus' name. If you believe that, say, I believe it. Hallelujah. Now give the Lord a hand clap this morning.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
We're going to get into the message. There's a teaching outline right next to you on the chair, and you can grab that, and you can even get these online. We have a great website. You can download these teaching outlines if you want to share them with friends. Use them in your small group, however you want to use it. We always like to see people following through in the Word and exploring the truths that they're hearing here, living the truths that they're hearing here at Gateway. So if you're joining us online, we're happy that you're here. If you're in the cafe, praise the Lord, enjoying that right there. And today we're wrapping up this kind of small little series that I've been doing on the subject of holiness. We're calling this clean. And because that's what we end up being, is through God's grace and through his love, we end up really being able to say, I'm clean, I'm not dirty, I'm not defiled any longer. The Lord has touched me. We're learning some things in this series. We're learning that holiness is being separated to God. It's not being perfect, because there's nobody here that's going to be perfect. But it's living a special life, a life dedicated to God and what pleases him. Holiness, in a true sense, is positional. The minute a person gets born again, they are instantly made holy and pure. They are instantly clean, because of Christ's finished work on the cross. Aren't you glad to know that the minute you are born again, you stand perfectly clean before the Lord? Isn't that awesome news? That's why they call it good news, all right? That's the good news, is that your sins are washed away. But holiness is more than just positional. It's also practical. It's a life that we live, and a way of doing our lives, and a pursuit that we have that respects what God respects, hates what God hates, loves what God loves, and moves in the direction of the things that please him. So holiness is a practical issue. But my question for us today is that even possible? Is it even possible for human people, broken people like you and I, to live a life of holiness? My message today is entitled Mission Possible. Not Mission Impossible. Because holiness is possible. How many of you are old enough? Now, I don't want to talk to anybody under 30 right now, because you only know the Mission Impossible movies with Tom Cruise, what's his name? I'm talking about the old school 60s and 70s weekly TV show called Mission Impossible. How many remember that one? When they had the old school recorder. Now, for those of you under 30, a tape recorder is a machine that has actual tape, and it goes around in circles. And what would happen in the, you know, inevitably in the Mission Impossible show is that the recorder that was the vehicle for, you know, the message, which was always your mission, should you choose to accept it, right? And then it would describe the mission, and then the tape would fry itself, you know, because it was very high tech. Well, we're talking about not Mission Impossible. We're talking about Mission Possible. When we talk about holy living, we believe from the Word of God that it is possible. It is doable for every Christian to be holy. Check out this verse. This is a little bit of a, almost like a Christmas verse, because it's about the birth of Jesus. Zechariah is prophesying the significance of this child that is born, and he's quoting the Old Testament, and he's putting all the pieces together, and here's what it says. He promised that we would be saved from those who hate us, and that we might worship God without being afraid. And then he says this, we can be holy. Isn't that awesome? Everybody say, I can be holy. He says, we can be holy and right with God all the days of our life. Here's a very Spirit-filled man. He's putting all this together and he's saying, you know what the birth of this child Jesus means? It means that God has kept his promise. This Savior means that we're going to be saved from all of those that hate him. And you know what? We don't have to be afraid of God anymore because he sent a Savior to us. Now look, God is holy. And there's, honestly, there's plenty to be afraid of about God. I mean, he is awesome. He is great. He is powerful. He is perfect. I mean, you would kind of think, wow, that's kind of scary to have a relationship with God. But this is what he says. We can worship him without being what? Afraid. We can know him now that we have a Savior, now that our sins are covered over. We don't have to be terrified of God. In fact, through knowing the Savior, we can now be holy all the days of our life. This is what I want to talk to you about this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Holiness is doable. It is doable for every single person in this room. Don't think that I'm talking about perfection, because I'm not. But I'm talking about living a life that is separated to God, where you literally, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can live a life that honors God. I want to call you to that life today. I want to walk you right up to the place where you say yes to Jesus Christ and you receive the power of the Holy Spirit to live a completely different kind of life, because it is doable. Now, before I get too far into this message, there's a question maybe hanging in the room. And the question is, why should I want to be holy? Why should I even try? And I could talk for a long time about that question, because it's a great question, and I think it's a question that every Christian should think about. Why should I want to live holy? And I just wrote down for you three thoughts, and there's many, but three thoughts about why you would want to be holy. First, you want to please God. If you love the Lord, you care what he cares about. You know, it's like I've been married to Kathy now for 33 years. I have found in all those years there are certain things that she likes and other things she just don't like. And I try to rearrange my life, because I love her, to do those things that she likes and avoid those things that she doesn't like. And so we're pretty happy, and we're still married. That's great. And so that's that works. It's kind of the same way in a relationship with God. You got to just understand there's things that God doesn't approve of. There's things he doesn't like. So you rearrange yourself. You move yourself around so that you can please him. But the other reason that I think is so important for us to live holy lives is a protection from evil. Now listen, there's a lot of darkness, and sin is toxic, corrosive stuff. And when you open the door to sin, when you knowingly, willingly just kind of give yourself over to sin, you are really opening yourself up to tremendous damage from the enemy. It's bad news. And that's why God asked us not to sin, because he's trying to protect us. Now, when a spirit-filled believer or a follower of Jesus Christ loves God, when they open the door to sin and they say, you know, on this issue, I'm not going to listen to God's best for my life. I'm going to persist in this area of sin. What you're doing is opening up a huge area of your spiritual armor. It's like all of us, God gives us protection. He gives us a spiritual armor, but a hole develops in your spiritual armor when you open the door to sin. And guess what the enemy does? The enemy of your soul, the one who wants to bring you into depression, discouragement, and defeat in life. He targets that place in your life where you've opened the door, and he just hammers it. He just looses everything he can on that one area. And then you're no longer in joy. You're not in faith. You're not in peace. You know, you're dealing with anxiety. You're having all kinds of problems in your relationship. You go, man, why is all this happening to me? Because you've opened up an area of your armor to the enemy. And when you repent of your sin and you say, God, help me with this, I'm going to change this, I'm going to address this by your help and grace, it closes that armor hole up and it restores protection to your life. It's really important in this crazy world that every single one of us are serious about the issue of holiness because of the damage that our sin opens up to us. And there's one more reason, and that's the power of service. Why should I be holy? Because God has a great call on your life. God really wants to use you. I'm not talking about the power of the Holy Spirit for the big shots up here on the stages in the churches. I'm talking about you. You're the person that God wants to use. You're the person that God wants to fill with his Holy Spirit. And he wants to make you strong. He wants you to lay hands on sick people. He wants you to cast out devils. He wants you to be able to prophesy. He wants you to be able to pray up a storm and see things change. And in order to experience that kind of power of the Holy Spirit, you've got to set your life aside to God and say, Lord, I'm going to serve you as best I can. I want to live for you so that I can be used. I'm thinking of Samson. Remember the Old Testament story of Samson, you know? The story of Samson is a kind of a tragic story. He had tremendous strength, but his strength came from his consecration. It came from the fact that he was set apart as a child to God. And when he lost that source of consecration, when he basically let go of holiness in his life, this big, strong man that had been so full of God, he lost his strength. And he ended up dying really in disgrace. And so the issue for us is if we want to please God, if we want to be safe and clean and whole, if we want God to use us to accomplish his will in the earth, we choose holiness. Now, we're going to begin with a question here today about the issue of holiness versus perfection. And I want to share a verse that kind of summarizes what I've said to you so far. That's Ephesians 1, verse 4. I really hope you catch this. Listen carefully. Because it says, even before he made the world, God loved us. Everybody say, God loves me. Now, let's not doubt that, okay? You say, well, he couldn't love me because I'm such a disaster. You have no idea what I've done. I've messed my life up. No, the Bible says he loves you. Even before he made the world, he loved you. And he chose you in Christ to be what? Holy. Well, you say, well, I hope I make it someday because it's not working very well. No, that's not what he's saying. He's not saying he hopes you make it one day. You know, he chose you to be holy, but, you know, you're a total disaster. No, he chose you, called you, framed you out. You were made holy before the foundation of the earth. And through the eternal, perfect work of Jesus Christ on the cross, the minute you receive him as your Lord and Savior, that eternal holiness is imparted into you, and you have found now your life's purpose. Now, nothing, because you're in him, nothing can destroy you, not even your sins. He has made you holy. And what? Without? This is like, crazy to even stop and think that God is not looking at you and I, if we're in Christ, if we're truly born again, he's not looking at you and I saying, what a disaster. Oh my God, I can't even look. I can't even, this guy is he's a wreck. That's not how God is looking at us. He's looking at us like this. That's my boy right there. That's my girl right there. I love her. God is looking at me right now saying, I love me some David Kenneth Tracy. I mean, that is my boy. That's my son. Right? Amen? And he's saying it about you. He's proud of you. You are without fault. That doesn't mean everything you do makes him happy. Not everything my children do makes me happy, but that's my boy right there. I love them. I'm proud of them. How many understand what I'm talking about? This is the life that God has called you into. Not a life of condemnation. Not a life while you wonder every day. I wonder how God is looking at me, and I wonder if I'm like, am I on a 2? Am I getting an F right now? Or am I getting a C? Or am I getting a B+? Sometimes we rate ourselves, and then we rate each other too. Forget the rating system. This is not a 4-star. God isn't yelping you right now. You're 5 stars, hallelujah. And he loves you. Isn't that great news? That's why they call it good news. So let's deal with a couple of questions. First question is this: can I be holy? Can we be holy? Well, if you understand the question correctly as I'm explaining it, yes. In fact, Christians are already holy. If you're born again, if you've received Christ into your life, you're holy. What does holy mean? Holy comes from a Greek word, hagios, which means set apart. Set apart. When I was growing up and living at home with my parents, of course, all of our favorite time of the year is Christmas. It's great. But I can remember at Christmas time, my mom would make certain dishes early, like a day or two early. And she would wrap them up with cellophane, and then she would put a note on it that says, do not eat. How many had a mom like that? Do not eat. And she would set the explanation when this would be eaten. This is for Christmas Eve. This is for Christmas Day. She was setting apart. Basically, she's saying, this is holy. Don't eat it. And do you know, the minute you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, he sets you aside and he sets you apart and he says, this is holy. This is for a purpose. This is for a moment. And you know what? I want to prophesy to every one of you. You are stepping into your moment right now. God created you at this moment in the world. He made you, wrapped you up, and put a note on you that said 2016. 2015. This is the time for this person to shine. And you have a purpose, and you have a calling in your life, and God has made you holy, not by what you have done, but because he created you and set you up for such a time as this. Isn't that awesome? So anything, here's what I want us to understand, anything set apart to God or by God is holy. And you are certainly set apart in Christ for the purpose of God, so you are holy. Everybody say, I'm holy and I know it. Thank you. So that's that is possible through the finished work of Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Not, I hope this works out for you. Not, I hope you make it. He says, you are that. You're chosen by God and you're holy. You are a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He already pulled you out of that mess of darkness. Do you remember what it was like when you weren't saved? You remember that lifestyle and where you loved to sin, you couldn't wait to sin, you got up in the morning thinking, how can I find me some sin? And who can I sin with today? I gotta call somebody, I got to get me some sin. And that was the life that you had. And he called you out of that life into a totally different life that is filled with light and purpose. And he marked you and he said, this is your time. I've called you and I'm going to use you, and you're special and you're set apart. Hallelujah. Now, so what we have here when we ask the question, can we be holy? We have the answer, which is, in that sense, every Christian is holy. In that sense that God has set you aside, you are a saint, you are holy. The answer is yes. Then we have another question. Can we be perfect? Can we be perfect? Is God expecting us to be perfect? Is that even possible? Well, the answer is no. I hate to disappoint you, but you're in an imperfect church, listening to an imperfect, although delightful, an imperfect man. You are surrounded by imperfection, and you're not going to make God's perfect standard until you stand in heaven face to face with Christ. Only then will you be removed from the presence and possibility and power of sin, such that, and you will have a new body, and you'll be in God's presence, and you'll see him, and you'll be transformed, changed into something that you were built to be but have not yet become. Until this life is over and you enter into heaven, you and I will not be perfect. Nobody could actually act perfect enough for a holy God. I don't mean holy. He's like super holy. He's triple holy. How could we possibly act perfect enough for that? Except through the perfection of Christ. That's the only way that we could possibly be holy. So what we have, if Christians can be holy, but they cannot be perfect, we have to admit that there is kind of a paradox here. Something that kind of makes sense whichever way you look at it, and yet doesn't make sense. The paradox is this, that Christians don't sin, and yet Christians do sin. Christians don't sin, and yet they do. Let me explain this. 1 John 3 says, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. In other words, no true Christian actually stubbornly, continuously moves every day like they used to. When you were a sinner, you woke up thinking about sin, trying to figure out how you could sin, looking for opportunities to sin. You wanted to hang out with people that would help you sin. Your whole life was about sin. When you received Christ, something changed. Your taste kind of changed. That didn't mean you became perfect. But how many can remember? You know, if you were getting loaded before you were saved, and then you tried to get loaded after you were saved, it just wasn't fun anymore. When you were a sinner before you were saved, and you were just like delighted, you just enjoyed stealing, and you liked to steal, and you were good at it, and then you tried to steal later, and it just wasn't fun anymore, because God changed your heart. So no true Christian actually persists in a life of sin, where they're delighted by sin, and they want to sin, and they can't wait to sin. Christians sin, but they feel awful about it. And they realize, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. This isn't what I want to be. This is no longer where I want to go with my life. Christians mess up, but then they say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I just receive your grace right now. I thank you for your protection and your covering over my life. Lord, give me the power to change. Help me to live in a way that is pleasing to you. So no Christian really keeps on sinning. In other words, we don't live that life that we used to live. So in that way, Christians don't sin. And yet, we all know, right, that Christians do sin. Don't raise your hand. But some of you sinned already today. And some of you are sinning right now while I'm preaching to you. Christians mess up. Christians live a life that is separated to God, but they are not perfect. And here's where we have to kind of undo some of the damage that bad teaching has done to people in setting us up to think that we're supposed to be perfect and there's something wrong if we aren't perfect. Christians don't sin, but Christians do sin. And we have to realize you're never going to be able to cancel out your all of your bad behavior and make yourself perfect enough for a holy God. No Christian can be holy enough, And here's the proof. In the same book, 1 John, that said nobody who sins or keeps on sinning knows the Lord, in the same book, in chapter 1, verse 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, what? We deceive ourselves. Here's the paradox. Christians don't sin, but they do. If a Christian says, oh, I don't sin, you're like, look, let's get real, dude. You know, you sin. And if you walk around fronting and acting like you're all of that and you don't sin, you're just fulfilling what this verse says. You're actually a liar. You're in deception. You don't really understand. So we live in an already, not yet. We're already holy and we're not yet holy. We're already saved and yet we're not fully saved as in heaven. We live in this paradoxical moment. And that's why God's grace is so valuable for us. We draw upon his grace every day and he finishes his work in us. We work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We stay in the process. When we fail, when we mess up, we don't give up. When we mess up, we don't give up. When we mess up, we don't give up. We keep going on our journey of holiness and knowing God. And let me just talk to us. Let me just talk to us as a as our pastor and as somebody who loves each and every one of us. And I think about what I dream that our church could be and what I believe it's becoming and what I believe that God has called it to be is I want us to be a church that's totally, completely authentic and real. Like, keep it real, y'all, you know? Like, instead of acting like you never sin, and instead of fronting and, you know, like creating a culture where, you know, we certainly don't endorse sin, we don't want sin, we're anti-sin, okay? But the problem is, in churches, is that church becomes like almost an unsafe place if you sinned. Church is not a place for people that have got it figured out and already have it. They've already eliminated all sin and now they get to join the holy club. Church is supposed to be a place where you're almost expected to mess up and there's enough love and enough grace to get our arms around each other and help each other through that journey. It's a place where it's not, I mean, we're not recommending sin. But if you sin, you don't have to walk like you're some kind of freak in the midst of a bunch of people that just look at you and go, I'm holier than thou. We are on a journey, folks. And most of the Christians that I know really want to get it right. They really want to please God. They really want their life to shine and to be better. And we want to be the kind of a church that locks arms with those people and says, come on, when you're weak, I'll help you. Because the lost of Silicon Valley are looking at us, and if we're fronting like we don't sin, how dare you, sir, suggest? And it's like we're from another planet, you know? And they look at us and they go, I don't think that's possible. That doesn't seem to be doable for me. But if we're honest enough to say, man, I'm as much a wreck as you are, but here's the difference. I've learned that God's great love is in my life and his great grace, and he fills me with the Holy Spirit. And when I mess up, I don't give up. I'm a work in progress. I'm in the process of God. And I go to a church where a lot of people are just kind of half-baked and just working on it as best they can, and they love each other, and they're there for each other, and we're all growing together. How many would like to be a part of a church like that? We got to change the culture of the church from perfectionistic. We serve a perfect God, but we have no perfect people. I don't have any perfect elders. I don't have any perfect staff members. There's no perfect people in our church. So I would love for you to be a part of our church. I hope you stay around. I hope I can preach your funeral. But if you're looking for perfect, you're in for a disappointment. But if you're looking for love, this is what we want. How many are on board with that? So I'm going to say this now. Get ready to tweet. There's some serious tweeting that's going to go on right now. Are you ready? This is very tweetable. We are called to be different, but not difficult. Let's get rid of the holier-than-thou stuff. Let's get rid of the inauthentic, I'm better than you, I'm better than sinners. We're called to be different. We are, but not difficult. We're called to be consecrated, but not what? Condescending. Let's keep it real. If we're Christians, that means we love the truth. We don't love lies. And the truth is, we're not perfect. And the truth is, we're working on it. How many are working on it? Three of you. That's amazing. All right. Did I sneak up on you on that? How many are working on just doing a little bit better for God? You just say, amen. Amen. That's my church. That's my boys right there. All right. So in just a few minutes that we have left, I'd like to unpack just a little bit about the self-cleaning lifestyle. If you have a self-cleaning oven, this is kind of like that. We have a life that we need to be responsible for, take leadership in, and lead ourselves into a place of holiness. How do we do that? How can imperfect people that do sin, like, take steps? What can we do this week and every day for the rest of our life? What could we do that would bring us to a place of greater practical holiness and cleansing? 2 Corinthians 7 says this, and because we have these promises about God's love and his grace, because we have these, dear friends, let us respond by cleansing ourselves. Wait, I thought you said Jesus takes away my sin. He does. But you clean up your act. Let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or our spirit. And let us work toward, everybody say, I'm working on it. What are you working on? Oh, it's all by grace. We don't have to work. Well, that's not what Paul said. You use grace. You receive grace. Grace is the power to do it, but you're the decider. You're the decider. Grace doesn't decide for you. You get up every day, put one foot in front of the other, and you say, by God's grace, I'm going to move in a direction that pleases him. Yeah. I'm working toward complete holiness. I'm not there. Nobody is. But I'm on my way. Yeah. So this is the life where we don't just say, well, I can't do it. I'll never be perfect. We've already dealt with that. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. And this is not a life where we say, oh, God, he's just so full of love. He don't care how I act. God cares how you act. So what's left? We get up every day. We serve a holy God. We know that we're under a covering of God's grace. And if we mess up, he won't give up on us. But we want to put one foot in front of the other and start walking toward a place of greater maturity and holiness in him. That's your Christian life. That's your joy. You love the Lord. You want his power. This is your focus, right? So what are some steps we could take? First, I would give you three. First, be filled with the Holy Spirit. What is his name? The what Spirit? Well, isn't that interesting? The Holy Spirit will fill you with the power to live a certain way. He will give you power that you don't have. Ephesians 5:18 and 19 says, don't destroy yourself by getting drunk, but let the Spirit, what? Fill your life. You're looking for something. You're looking for peace. You're looking for something to calm you down, make you feel that everything's going to be okay. Don't try to find it in alcohol. That'll bury you. That will destroy your life. Instead, find that peace. Find that release in the Holy Spirit. He will fill you. Let me tell you a little story. Apostle C grew up in Chicago. My dad, his brother, grew up in Chicago. How many have heard of the Great Fire of 1872 in Chicago? By the way, he wasn't born in 1872. I'm talking about the Great Fire of Chicago in 1872 literally almost completely wiped out the city of Chicago. What a lot of people don't know, there's a river that goes right down through the middle of Chicago. And at the time, Chicago was really on one side of the river. The bulk of the city of Chicago was not on the side where the fire started. What a lot of people don't know is that the fire crossed the river and did the damage after it crossed the river. So Chicago proper was destroyed by a fire that leapt over a river. You say, how does a fire possibly get across a body of water? How did that happen? And the answer is that the river was so filthy, so full of waste and things that I don't want to describe. It was so full of trash and garbage that when the fire came up to the banks of the river, it ignited. It was combustible. The river itself was combustible, and the fire went clean across the river and went on to destroy the city of Chicago. Well, the engineers, after they're rebuilding the city of Chicago, which today is a strong city, they redesigned it. They got busy, and they worked on channels, and they worked on locks, and what they were able to do, the engineers, is they reversed the flow of that river. So now that river flows out of Chicago and into the mighty Mississippi. Did you know that? They changed the direction of the river. And when they did that, all that trash and pollution came with it and washed out, and now the river is clean. This is a picture of what the infilling of the Holy Spirit will do for you. Jesus said this, the Holy Spirit will be in you like a river, like a well of water springing up in life. He said, out of your innermost being will flow what? Rivers of living water. When you receive the Holy Spirit, when you open your heart to the Holy Spirit, He will change the direction of your life. He will change you internally. Instead of you living to draw in filth and draw in poison and draw in all kinds of things that will corrupt you and destroy you, the Holy Spirit will reverse the direction of your life, and you will now begin to flow out all of that junk that was in you, the fear, the insecurity, the hurt, the pain, the anger, the racism, the violence, the judgmentalism. All of that starts to wash out of you. And you live with this pure, I'm not saying you're perfect, but I'm saying you live with this river that is able to flow out of you and bless other people. So here's what I say. If you want to live a holy life, you pray every day, Holy Spirit, please fill me. And Jesus made a promise. He said, whenever you ask for the Holy Spirit, the Father in heaven will give you the Holy Spirit. So I recommend to you, if you want to be a holy person, if you want to live a different kind of life, make it a habit, a practice every day. Say, Lord Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit today. I'm going into my workplace. I'm going to my campus. Holy Spirit, fill me. And this will create a different direction in your life. The only way to be authentically holy is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of holiness. Second, are you getting this? That's number one. What can I do this week to be more holy, to live a self-cleaning life? You have to ask for the Holy Spirit and do it every day. And then the second, you got to be prayerful about holiness. There's a prayer that I've been praying. I call it the Holy Maker. It's the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, called the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Remember that prayer? I want to challenge every one of you. Look at this prayer. It says, first of all, this is the way Jesus taught us to pray. Father in heaven, may your name be kept what? Holy. So right there in the first breath of that prayer, we're dealing with the issue of holiness. Lord, let my life bring glory and honor to you. Let your name be reflected in my life. Be holy, Lord. I praise you for who you are. You're holy. And then he says, forgive my sins. He teaches us to pray for forgiveness. And we should, absolutely. Lord, I can think of 12 things right now I need forgiveness on. Then there's probably another 150 things that I haven't thought of. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I humble myself. I am forgiven, but wash me again, Lord. And do that as I forgive. So you can't receive God's goodness and just hold it for yourself. It's a river. If you're going to drink from the river of forgiveness, you have to pass it to other people. So he says, cleanse me, make me, forgive me of my sins. And then, isn't this a good prayer? Lead me not into what? That's why I call this prayer the Holy Maker. Because if you pray every day, Lord, there's temptation out there, and I don't want to step in it. I know you wouldn't lead me into temptation, but Lord, I could be tempted, and I'm humbling myself right now, and I'm saying, Lord, let this day go right. Let the steps of my feet lead to paths of righteousness, not places of temptation. In other words, I'm praying about what I'm going to be doing today. I'm praying that it will be holy and that it won't be sinful. And I'm also praying this, Lord, deliver me from evil. Because there are devils out there. There's wickedness in the world. There are plots against my Christian life. There are challenges to who I want to be in God. And I'm asking you to deliver me. Lord, don't let anything get its hooks in me. I don't want to get caught in the barbed wire of sin. Lord, deliver me. Free me. Keep me out of that mess. And if you will pray this way, God will increase you. See, this is why Jesus didn't ask you to pray the Lord's Prayer, because he's trying to get you to, you know, memorize, you know, things and be religious. This is a powerful prayer. This is a prayer that will make you holy and will strengthen that part of your life. Be prayerful about holiness. I challenge you. Here's my challenge. I challenge every one of you to pray the Lord's Prayer. Mean it from your heart. Pray through it every day. If you pray super slow, it takes less than 3 minutes. Take a minute in your car, pray through, and let it be from your heart, and let it be the words that God gives you. But honor God with the Lord's Prayer. And pray about the issues of temptation and deliverance and purity. Pray through it. Pray to a God who is holy, and he will help you. Here's the last piece. We can't forget this. We have to be serious about the issue of obedience. The Christian life is really the trial and error of learning to obey the Lord. 1 John 2 says it's only when we obey God's laws that we can be sure that we really know him. And it says the man who claims to know God but doesn't obey him, he's self-deluded. So obedience is very important. But watch this. The more a man learns to obey God's laws, the more truly and fully does he express his love for him. Do you know that obedience is a learned process? Remember we said we're not perfect? Remember that? So we learn to obey God. It's a process. We got to get in the habit and get in the process and say, have you learned to obey fully? No, I'm learning. How are you learning, Pastor David? Well, when I make a mistake and it blows up in my face, that teaches me something. When I mess up, that is extremely instructive. How many have learned a lot in life? And when I see consequences of my sin, that gets a hold of me and I say, Lord, and so I go into the learning process. And I've learned certain things over the years. I've learned there's certain conversations I'm not going to be a part of. I've learned that. So when the conversation goes a certain way, and I hear it, it's not going to help me. It's not going to help anybody else. I've just learned. It doesn't make me smart. It just means I've figured out. There's some of you cannot be a part of certain substances. You can't touch a drop. It's not right for you. You have learned. If you go to certain places and you hang out with certain people, you have learned what your weakness is. So you've got to learn obedience through the course of God teaching you. How many of you really want to do better in your life? Not for me, for the Lord. You want to do it for the Lord. Let's stand to your feet. Here's what I want to say to us. Your mission. Should you choose to accept it, is possible. This is doable, guys. Your mission is not to be perfect. Get that. That's off the table. That isn't going to happen. Your mission is not to be perfect. Your mission is to be filled with the Holy Spirit as best you can. Let God fill you. It's to pray and it's to obey, to be in the process, in the school of obedience. Let me pray for us. Father, I just ask, Lord, right now, that you would empower each and every one of us to live a different kind of life. Lord, we've come to the end of ourselves. We can't do it in our own strength. We need you, Lord, to take over. Would you join me as we sing together? Oh, I need you, Lord. Come on, let's sing together. Lord, I pray for something so supernatural to touch every person listening to my voice. I pray that we would literally breathe in the breath of the Holy Spirit. You're holy, Lord, and we're not. But fill us with holiness through Christ. I pray for people today that just feel so discouraged in their sin. They've messed up so many times and they have no idea how to change. Would you fill us all with your Holy Spirit, Lord? Grace over us, Lord. Fill us with the power to live right, Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that that river would flow as never before in my life and in my children's life and in the life of this church, Lord. I pray that you would reverse the course of the river of corruption in us and that you would cause such purity in life to come out of us and into our city, Lord, where we will love the lost and be real with the lost. And we will exude, Lord, not judgment, not anger, Lord, not perfection, but we will be that church that you have called us to be, that will bring the satisfaction of the gospel of Jesus Christ to people, Lord. Lord, we pray that we would be changed from what we used to be to what you are calling us to be through the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you say hallelujah? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap this morning. I want to invite my friends on the prayer team. These are guys and gals, elders, intercessors, leaders in our church, people that are just real, authentic people. They're coming right now to be here to pray with you. I told you earlier in the service that I wanted to lead you right up to the place where you could say yes to Christ. I'm not sure if you're from our church or if you might be Buddhist, you might be Baptist, you might be Methodist, you might be a Mormon. Doesn't really matter what label you put on it. God has brought you here today and he loves you and he has a plan for your life. How can you be forgiven of your sins? How can you come to know Christ? You do that by faith. You just open the door of your heart. There's nothing you have to do other than just say, God, I need you. I want you. So I'm going to invite you to say a prayer. We're going to talk to God about what Christ has provided for us and we're going to welcome him into our lives together. We're going to do this out loud. And everyone that would like to join me, let's please pray out loud. Let's say it together. Father God, I declare that I've been made clean through the finished work of Christ on the cross. I am a new creation in him. I'm not the product of my past, but a product of the Holy Spirit's power. Today, I boldly confess that I am a follower. Say that part again. This is powerful. Today, I boldly confess that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am not perfect, but I am in the process. And by the great grace of God, I stand clean and holy in his sight. Now shout hallelujah and give God a clap offering. Amen. I love every one of you. I love to see you here. I'm so glad you came. I'm so glad we could be together. Just take a minute and love somebody. If you're on your way out, high five them and tell them I'm holy and I know it and that's good news. And if you need prayer, you know, if you need someone to talk to, you came today just hoping for some help, just come on down, talk to our folks here at the front. God bless you, everyone. I love you. You're dismissed.
Good job.
Thank you.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408 281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.